Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of the book of Daniel, chapter 11.
And obtained the kingdom by flatteries. So Antiochus Epiphanes, he was not the one who deserved to be the next ruler, but somehow, because he was very vile and he was usurping things that were not his, we read that he will come, he will stand up. And then initially they gave him no honor because it was not him the one who was supposed to rule in the northern Syrian Grecian Empire or kingdom, but he took the honor and the place by flatteries. That word for flatteries is the Hebrew word bechalaklakot. The word bechalaklakot, it really means in a really slippery way, the slippery of the tongue, the lying and the cheating and the tricking of others in order to take the place that was not his. So verse 21, Antiochus the Fourth took the Syrian Grecian throne by trickery, by flattery, and by deceit, and ultimately by murdering. So he became now the Syrian Grecian king of the northern kingdom, north of Israel, and he did so in a wicked way, bachalaklakot, by flatteries, by lying and tricking others and influencing others, and ultimately also by murdering. Antiochus' power, we read of him in his power in the next verse, verse 22, and with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. So verse 22 tells us that Antiochus' power, military power, that he also ultimately, he is the one who overpowered others, but you notice that he is also overpowered the prince of the covenant. That expression, the prince of the covenant, comes from the Hebrew word Nagid Brit. Nagid Brit is really the one that the priest and the spiritual leaders of Israel, somehow Antiochus, on his way to fight with the south, with Egypt, he also have been successful by taking over and influencing the prince of the covenant, Negid Brit, the word covenant in Hebrew, Brit. And every time we read it here in this chapter is in relationship to the covenant people of God, the Jewish people with whom God made a covenant, whether it is the Abrahamic covenant or whether it is the land covenant, or whether it is the Davidic covenant, or even whether it is the Mosaic covenant, the covenant that God made, the Torah that God gave to Israel through Moses. These are covenants that were made by God with the people of Israel, beloved brothers and sisters. So he came, and he was successful also to overpower the prince, Nagid Brit, the prince of the covenant, the Brit that God had made with the Jewish people. So he was successful to overpower also the Jewish people. But notice, beloved brothers and sisters, because in verse 23 we read, and after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. Well, initially with a small people, a small army, Antiochus made deceitful leagues with Egypt. He deceived them, making a league with them in order to be control Egypt, the south of Israel. But also, we find out that he became stronger and stronger. He had little army, small people, but yet with deceitfulness, he was able to be successful. Notice what we read about him already in verse 21, he was a vile person. In verse 21 at the end, he obtained his kingdom by flattery. In verse 22, we read that he was the one that was successful to overpower with a small amount of arms and men, to be successful to overpower others, and including the prince of the covenant. And in verse 23, we read that he made leagues, and the league he made with Egypt in order to control and rule over Egypt. And he did so, he worked deceitfully, and for he shall come up and shall become strong with small people. That's what the angel is telling Daniel in verses 21, 22, and 23, Antiochus the fourth early reign and elevated into this power that he had. And beloved brothers and sisters, remember that right in the middle, as the north coming against the south, as the Syrian against Egypt, in the middle we have the prince of the covenant people of God, the Jewish people in the land of Israel. Now in verse 24 onward to verse 28, Antiochus' expansion and the expansion of his power. And he expanded against Egypt when he came against Egypt in 173 BC for the first time. And so we read in verse 24, Antiochus became wealthy. How he spoiled those whom he was able to attack. And so notice we read in verse 24, of our chapter, Daniel chapter 11, he shall enter peaceably, giving an assumption that he is coming in peaceful, in shalom, but in actuality, he really comes in the places and the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil the riches. Yea, he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. In other words, God have allowed Antiochus Epiphanes to come in such a way, and again, beloved brothers and sisters, giving the assumption that he does that peaceably, as we have in verse 24. But then as he come, he does things that even his forefathers have never done before. What does he do? He scattered the prey. Notice as we read here, and he spoil all and riches and so on. Yeah, and he shall forecast his devices against the stronghold even for a time. In other words, God allowed him for a time to do what he did by scattering the prey, spoiling the riches, and ultimately forecasting his devices, bringing forth the devices to fruition, thinking all sort of plans against those that are his enemies, those whom he opposed. And so we read that he have done that, notice that, and he shall focus his devices against the strongholds. In Hebrew, mivtzarim, even though they were protected stronghold of his enemies, especially in the connection with Egypt here, he was able to come and to spoil and to take the wealth from the enemies that he attacked, and they shall devise or forecast devices against him. In other words, as he is doing so, coming against these strongholds, it was for a season, for a time, but eventually, beloved brothers and sisters, God will have to put an end to it. But notice, it's not the end, because apparently in verse 25, Antiochus will stir up wars against Egypt, and Egypt shall not be able to stand up. And so we read, and he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south. Again, the king of the south is the kings that rise up in the history of the Grecian Egyptian kingdom. That's the king of the south. Now, who come from the north? The king of the north, this is Antiochus, who is the king of the north, the Grecian Syrian king, north of Israel, south of Israel. Israel is right in the midst. The Jewish people are in the midst. So he will stir up a battle with a very great army, for they shall devise against him. In other words, the king of Egypt will try to withstand against Antiochus Epiphanes, but he will not be successful, as we see it in this verse 25. That king of Egypt was Ptolemy the sixth, and he was not successful. Egypt shall not stand up, beloved brothers and sisters. And so we continue in verse 26 again. God, who knows the end from the beginning to the end, and he is the one who said before Daniel through this angel information that Daniel received, that history clearly present this before us. Specifically, we can read it in the book of Maccabees, 1st Maccabees and 2nd Maccabees, the book of the history of our people Israel, that is not part of the canon of scripture, but it is Jewish history, which tells us concerning the events that happened in days of old. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, in verse 26 we read, yea, they that feed of the portion of the meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. So in verse 26 we read that eventually the king of the south of Egypt, who initially tried to fight against Antiochus Epiphanes, he will be defeated, beloved brothers and sisters. Many shall fall down slain. His army shall be overthrown by the armies of the king of the north, the Syrian Grecian king Antiochus Epiphanes. In verse 27, we find out that both the king of the north and the king of the south will do mischief and lie. They will kind of try to maybe make an agreement, but they will, both of them will not trust one another. Both of these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table. In other words, they will try to make an agreement, but in reality, the king of the south will not trust the king of the north, and he will give him the assumption that he trusts in him, but he lies because he doesn't trust him because of what he has done. And so we read, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed, the end of the conflict that will be between Syria and Egypt. So in other words, all the conflict, this is going on of what we read between the north and the south and the south and the north. These verses here, verse 27 and 28, these conflicts existed for a long time, but it will come to an end. The end, until, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. In other words, they continued on until the Lord will make an end to this conflict between the north and the south of the two kings, Grecian kings of the north and the south. In verse 28, beloved brothers and sisters, we read what happened. That when Antiochus Epiphanes, when he returned back home after seemingly making kind of an arrangement, we read in verse 28, then shall he return to his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against, again, notice, the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. These verses, beloved brothers and sisters, specifically verse 28, tells us that Antiochus Epiphanes, after he have done what he have done to the king of the south, he, on the way home, going back north to Syria, he's passing through the Holy Covenant, namely the Brit HaKodesh, this is the Jewish people, the land of Israel, And what does he do there? He shall do exploits, even in Israel, and then he will return to his own land. This is very interesting because in 1 Maccabees chapter 1, we read of the way in which he treated the Jewish people on the way back to his own country from Egypt to Syria. Let me read what is written in 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verse 20, just a few verses here in this historical book. We read, beloved brothers and sisters, in verses 20 to 28, these words. In the year 143, after the conquest of Egypt, Antiochus marched with a great army against the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. In his arrogance, he entered the temple and he took away the gold altar, the lampstand, with all its equipment, the table of showbread offered to the Lord, the cups and the bowls, the gold and fire pans, the curtains and the crown. He also stripped all the gold from the front of the temple, and he carried off the silver and the gold and everything else of value, including all the treasures that he could find stored there. Then he took it all to his own country. Again, as we read in verse 28, he's returning to his own country, but on the way he shall be against the Holy Covenant. The Holy Covenant, in Hebrew we read the Brit HaKodesh, the Holy Covenant that God made with his people Israel. In other words, he exploits the people of Israel and the temple in the city of Jerusalem. Notice, he also murdered many people and boasted arrogantly about it. There was a great mourning everywhere in the land of Israel. Rulers and leaders groaned in sorrow. Young men and young women grew weak. The beauty of our women faded, we read in Maccabees, 1 Maccabees 1 and verse 26. We continue verses 27, 28, all the way to the next a few more verses. Verse 27, 28, every bridegroom sang a funeral song, and every bride sat mourning in her room. All our people were clothed with shame, and our land trembled from them. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, we read in these verses, verses 20 to 28 of 1 Maccabees chapter 1, of the evil way in which Antiochus Epiphanes treated the Jewish people as he was returning from Egypt on the way to Syria. And so now, beloved brothers and sisters, in verses 29, 30, and 31 of Daniel chapter 11, we read of Antiochus' persecution of the Jews. He persecuted the Jewish people in a terrible, terrible way. Notice what we read in verses 29, 30, and 31. At the time appointed, he shall return and come towards the south. He is at a time appointed. This is now a few years later. In 168 B.C., Antiochus is now coming back from Syria, going all the way down to Egypt, to the south. But it shall not be as the former days, as the later. In other words, when he would come now again to go against Syria, against Egypt, he would come down from Syria to Egypt in the south, and he will not be successful in his campaign against Egypt as it was before. And why? Because this time the Romans were helping the Egyptians, and the Romans stopped Antiochus and caused him to return back without any victory against Egypt, against the king of the south. And so we read in verse 29, at that time appointed he shall return, 168 B.C., and come toward the south, this is Egypt, but it shall not be as the former or as the later. for the ships of Shittim. This is ships, Roman ships in Cyprus, Shittim, shall come against him. So he will have a position now, not so much from Egypt, but from Rome. And he could not fight against the Romans. They were more powerful than him. So, notice, therefore he shall be grieved. Notice this, very interesting, verse 30. He za'am, grieved. Nich'ah, in other words, he was feeling very bad, so he was grieved. And then it says here, and return and have indignation. That's where you get the word za'am. That word indignation mentioned elsewhere about God's indignation against sin. The Hebrew word is za'am. But here we see the wicked indignation of this man, Antiochus the Fourth, Antiochus Epiphanes. So he was so grieved because he didn't get what he wanted, and because he was warned by the Romans to return back and to go back, otherwise he will suffer consequences, he will suffer loss. So what does he do? He was grieved, he was angry again on the return against the holy covenant. Again, Vezam al Brit HaKodesh. In other words, he now again, he's taking his anger against the Jewish people because he was not successful to get what he wanted from Egypt, get the power that he wanted, because the Romans have stopped him from doing so. The ships of Shittim, they came to Cyprus. He now placed upon the Jewish people that which he was angry about. So we read in verse 30, so shall he do, he shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. In other words, beloved brothers and sisters, Antiochus Epiphanes was successful in making a league with some Jewish people who were influenced by the Hellenistic views and teaching, a paganistic kind of a life, which they kind of assisted him, or they took side with him, because assuming that he will treat them well, and because they have departed from the law of the Lord, now they, as we read here in this verse, he made a league with them, with those that forsake the holy covenant, at the end of verse 30 of Daniel chapter 11. Very interesting, because in this is again mentioned for us, beloved brothers and sisters, verses here, verse 30 and 31 of Daniel chapter 11, really is prescribed for us somewhat in the book of Maccabees as well. Verse 31, we read, and arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. In other words, beloved brothers and sisters, Antiochus now, after he also made a league with some of the Hellenistic Jews, he eventually brought about the fact that the daily sacrifice in the temple in the city of Jerusalem will cease, and he committed in the temple the abomination of desolation by offering a pig to Zeus, his God, there in the temple in the city of Jerusalem. And that is the time, beloved brothers and sisters, which really given to us the time of 168 BC, when the abomination of desolation occurred in the history of the Syrian Grecian king by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes. Now, there are verses in the book of Maccabees that point to that. I just want to read verse 47 of 1 Maccabees chapter 1 says, they were commanded to build pagan altars, temples, and shrines, and to sacrifice pigs and others unclean animals. Imagine, he commanded the Jewish people to erect all sort of altars, offer pigs upon the altars, and really, he committed the abomination of desolation, beloved brothers and sisters. Now again, this verse 31 of Daniel 11, the abomination that maketh desolation This is the event that occurred in the time when Antiochus Epiphanes have desecrated the temple in the city of Jerusalem. And he became a type and a picture of the Antichrist who will come in the future day during the tribulation period, when he will be the one that will ultimately commit the abomination of desolation that Daniel the prophet is speaking about, which Antiochus Epiphanes became a type of the Antichrist, a picture of the future greater wicked man who will come, of whom we will read at the last portion of Daniel chapter 11. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, this is a very sad, sad history. Let me read you a few more verses. 1 Maccabees 1, verse 33. Then Antiochus and his forces built high walls and strong towers in the area north of the temple, turning it into a fort. They brought in a group of traders Jews and installed them there. They also brought in arms and supplies and stored in the front all the loot that they had taken in Jerusalem. This fort became a great threat to the city. The fort was a threat to the temple, a constant evil for the people of Israel. How sad and how wicked this man was. It says in verse 37 of 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verse 37, innocent people were murdered. Around the altar, the holy place was defiled by murderers. What a sad, sad condition here we see that existed during the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, when he returned being angry because he didn't get his way from the Egyptians, and he was told to return back by the Romans who came against him. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, as we move along in our chapter, now the final verses.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.